Ladies and gentlemen, the world lost this week an absolute legend in the world of Bible theology in one Dr. Michael S. Heiser. He was a dear friend of many of us here on panel today here at the Skywatch Television Studios, and we thought that it would be important to come together and just share some of our thoughts and memories. Now, Derek, you were another one of these who knew Mike for several years. You got a chance to go to Roswell with him. You got a lot of chances to travel with him and get to know the man. Who was Mike Heiser?
He was really unique in that he was a careful scholar of Bible theology, of Hebrew, of Greek, of other ancient languages, Sumerian,
right,
for example. But he also had a variety of interests outside of that. He was the reason we were in Roswell with him, Josh and me and Sharon, for Skywatch TV during the 70th anniversary of the Roswell crash, was because Mike was also a respected ufologist. And he was also a huge baseball fan. For 10 years, he served as the commissioner of the Naked Bible Fantasy Baseball League, which I'm proud to say that I won the league twice.
Oh, okay.
But his desire was to take what scholars know and to bring it to the body of Christ as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are many things that scholars know and exchange with one another, information that they take for granted, that never gets past that bottleneck of academia to the pews.
That's right.
And that was really Mike's mission, which is why he was so willing to affiliate with us, some might consider fringe Christianity, and share his research, his knowledge, and very patiently teach those of us who had never heard these concepts before. So going back to 2004, 2005, when we first became aware of Mike, as Sharon and I were trying to do some research to write supernatural fiction and realizing we didn't know enough theology to do it right,
yeah,
we reached out to Mike to interview him for our podcast, PID Radio, and he was happy to share his time with these two people who were using a jury-rigged podcast, because this was before Skype or Zoom or anything like that. We literally had to take a doohickey with alligator clips to a phone, run it through our handy cam to convert it to a digital signal, run it, and that's how we first interviewed you, Tom.
Yeah.
But Mike was happy to do that because it meant getting this information out of academia and into the heads and the hearts of people in the pews. That was his desire. That was his mission. And he did this in multiple ways.
Yeah, I would say that that probably mostly defines who Michael Heiser was to so many of us. By the way, I met him even before the anniversary when Skywatch sent you down there, years before, actually about 25 years ago. And it was back when me and David Flynn and Guy Malone and all of us guys were gathering in Roswell, New Mexico. And because we were Christians, and I would even say like Orthodox, old-fashioned, and yet we had an interest in things that, you know, most of the church just does not want to talk about and doesn't talk about. And, you know, after I stopped pastoring, that became one of my missions, really, at Raiders News Update, which then eventually became Skywatch TV. But this idea that I don't want to run away from hot topics. And so if it's UFOs or aliens or whatever, right, the quantum field, whatever it is, I wanted to talk about it mostly because I'd been a pastor 25 years, and when the internet was invented, there were all kinds of, you know, online ministries that were really kind of just inspiration ministries, you know, how to be a good dad, how to be a good mom. All those things are really important, but what I had noticed was nobody was really filling the gap in church in these other weird questions. And don't forget, one of Michael Heiser's favorite phrases was, if it's in the Bible and it's weird, it's probably important. So that's what really we have tried to do, is something I would say that paralleled Mike Heiser's calling, not in terms of our academic qualifications, but the overall vision,
right,
to be willing to talk about that. And we've had people that have converted from the New Age, have gotten saved, gave their life to the Lord, wrote us letters because of our willingness to talk about some of this stuff. And that really did define Mike Heiser. I will tell you one thing that was a secret, has really remained a secret, and that is on one of Mike's trips here to do Skywatch TV, this some years ago now, we were sitting in the Hacienda, which is the house that we gave to Whispering Ponies Ranch. But we were sitting inside that house, And Mike opened up to me that he had been contacted by the senior pastor of a megachurch in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, why was he telling me this? He hadn't told anybody this. It was a secret between him and his wife, Drina, and this pastor that had contacted them. And I certainly was not, you know, on the same level as Mike's academic pals. So why would he tell me? Well, it was because I was putting pressure on him to come to work for Skywatch TV and to be our resident scholar. I mean, wouldn't that have been cool, yeah. Right? Wow. So I was really putting the pressure on him. I was even teasing him with stuff like, man, think how much your wife, Drina, would love the ponies at Whispering Ponies Ranch, right? So finally, I bugged him so much, he said, okay, I'm going to tell you something, but you have to keep this secret. And that is, I've been contacted by the pastor of this megachurch. His life was changed by Mike's book, The Unseen Realm. I mean, it radically changed him. So they wanted to go from being a church, I guess, with smoke machines and whatever mega churches do, to taking a far more serious approach to discipleship. Mm. And so him and Mike had these various conversations, and ultimately Mike went there to form the School of Theology, mm-hmm. which is where he was teaching right up until he died from pancreatic cancer last week. So he told me this because he wanted me to know why he would not say yes to the dress on coming to Skywatch TV to be our resident scholar.
Yeah.
But he made me promise that I wouldn't tell anybody, and I never did. But that's where he went. He had been the academic editor for Logos. After Roswell, I think about the time I met him in Roswell, he was writing his thesis to earn his PhD, or sometime shortly thereafter. He did do that. He taught at the college level. He taught remotely like he was doing with the School of Theology. These are precious moments to me now.
Yeah.
To think back about, you know, getting together at Roswell and meeting this guy that was an obvious brainiac, and I was just intrigued by him, right? To being able to fellowship with him in my house, the little memoriam that I wrote last week, I admitted that we laughed as equals, but that was never true intellectually. Mm-hmm. And he was the sage, and I was the student, and I was glad to be. And obviously, the world of theology and Christianity is a very much richer place because of the life of Dr. Michael S. Heiser. It literally reformed. I pastored 25 years. I was an executive in the Assemblies of God, and I had never heard of this stuff he was talking about. But he didn't just talk about it. He proved it in terms of scriptural integrity and history. He showed what he was talking about was really forgotten knowledge. That's why years later, when I got the opportunity to publish his book, Reversing Hermon, you know, the subtitle is The Forgotten Mission of Jesus Christ. And Derek, you've written quite a bit about that too, about, you know, the things that Jesus did in his life, how he was actually reflecting the Enochian worldview. He postured himself, for want of a better term, to show that he was the fulfillment of what the Hebrews at his time were looking for based on the Book of Enoch. And that's why he wrote, you know, the student's guides to the mm-hmm. Book of Enoch. We are going to be running for the next 5-6 weeks on Skywatch TV website a series of articles called Reversing Hermon. It's going to be based on the works of Dr. Michael Heiser that we published. And during that series, we're doing it in memory of Mike and to honor his work and his legacy. But during that series of articles, any of Mike Heiser's books that are purchased from our Skywatch TV store, we're going to take the profit from that and send it to his widow, Drina, and give that to her. So hopefully it will do well. It's an effort just to remember him, but not to make money off of Mike at this point. So keep that in mind, and if you can, it'll be online. You go to the main website, skywatchtv.com. Over in the left navigation bar, you'll see the series there, Reversing Hermon. And if you can purchase his books, then that'll at least be something maybe small that we can send to Drina.
You know, a lot of the memories that I have over the last decade that involve Mike Heiser are almost when you go to qualify someone's theology, somebody submits a new book or a new thesis. And oftentimes you would find yourself at some part of that conversation saying, I wonder what Mike Heiser is.
Yep.
Or you'd go look it up. But I think Mike has written, and now you're reading something. You're almost using the work that he had done mm-hmm. to kind of measure against these other possibilities to see, well, what does Mike Heiser say about that? Because he was so thorough and uh-huh. taken so seriously. I'm speaking now on behalf of my sister, Donna Howell, who sits here. Donna, I don't think I've seen you as wrecked over the loss of somebody in a long time. This hit Donna.
Yes.
It was devastating is an appropriate word.
Yeah.
He was a hero to you and one that you used an awful lot when you're, you know, coming up with ideas. And
we're talking about who he was, you know, and how he was viewed by the world. And there is certainly the side of Mike Heiser that is known in academia and in the world of scholarly research. But we all had the very unique and rare privilege of getting to know him behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And although I would say that I was absolutely inspired by everything he ever taught, performed, wrote, you know, all his podcasts, all the work that he did, I followed all of it. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you that he was extremely thorough. He never cut corners. Mm-hmm. And there were even times where he would say, well, you know, this is just as valid as this explanation. The arrogance that sometimes attaches itself to certain teachers to say, well, look at me, I'm a master of multiple languages, and I say it's that. He never, ever embodied that. There was not an arrogant bone in his body. And on the other side, in the behind the scenes, there was a couple of things that I got the privilege to observe. Several conversations that we had casually in the hallway at a conference or whatever, that we'd have these different theological conversations. And it was profound that there was one particular area where I came to a different conclusion than he did. Mm-hmm. And both of us came to our conclusions responsibly. We both did a lot of research. And he made it very clear to me. He said, we don't have to agree. Mm-hmm. I totally respect you. And mm-hmm. he said, the reason I respect you is because you came to that conclusion after you did the research to back it up.
Right.
So if you believe this and I believe this, we can still break bread together.
Right.
And he meant it when he said it because there was never that weird, awkward air. Oh, no, you know, Mike Heiser and I don't agree on this other thing. But there was this one particular day that stood out. And I've got to share this because I don't know that the viewers at home would have ever been given this kind of insight into the behind the scenes of Mike. We had gone to a steak dinner because he was in town and he was doing something. And this was some time ago. Now, at the time, I personally had not yet been groomed into the Skywatch loop. My name wasn't really circulated in very much. I wasn't on television very much at the time. I'm not saying to Mike, but to a massive accomplished theologian with his doctorate and his research and his level of academic authority, mm-hmm. I was just nobody, or I should have been to someone like that, just a nobody. You know what I mean? And we were at the steak dinner and I brought up eschatology and I was asking about his views on, you know, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, all those things, and just kind of picking his brain about all of the different topics and especially amillennialism. And while we're discussing this, I noticed that other people, because you got to remember, our steak dinner table had so many theologians at that table. And I mean very well-known, well-respected, authoritative teachers at this table. Who was I? I was just that girl. And so he would politely listen while everybody else is weighing in and they're all giving their own theological opinions. And he's waiting. And every time they were done, he would kindly nod to them, and then he would look back to me. Did I answer your question? He cared.
Mm-hmm.
I could not believe that. And what went through my mind, and it didn't even occur to me until after I said it out loud to my husband later on, it didn't occur to me how biblical this was of an example that he had put forth. But I said, in my mind, I'm sitting there going, who am I that Mike Heiser would even acknowledge me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And later on, when I was telling my husband that, I said, who am I that Mike Heiser would even acknowledge me? And as soon as it came out of my mouth, I went to the psalm. Who is man that God would be mindful of him,
mm-hmm.
that God would consider him? Or to personalize it, who am I that God would care for me? That's what Mike was.
Mm-hmm.
Every chance he had to bring the Jesus Christ-like example to the table, he did. So it wasn't just that he was a responsible researcher, although that is true. It wasn't just that he was an authority in that he turned the entire world of academia on its head, although that is also true. It's the fact that everywhere he went, he modeled a true Christ-like communication and interaction with the body of Christ and with unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
And when people would laugh or scoff at an atheist, he would say, don't laugh. this is a soul we're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so he was so everything that you want the Christ-like guy to be behind the scenes.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes I think people kind of misunderstood that about him because he was so stoic.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't a slap you on the back and laugh out loud goofball kind of a guy, right? Mm-hmm. He was very straightforward, but he was also very sentimental towards people. And that goes back to what you were talking about earlier, Derek, that's what was in his heart. He called it Christian Middle Earthers, right, to draw from the Tolkien books, that he wanted to help the people that were below academia but above religious nut jobs, right? He wanted those right. people in the middle who were thirsty and who were hungry to have somebody like him who he didn't have to lower himself. He just considered he lived among them. He just happened to also be a PhD. And Donna, don't forget that years later, after this steak dinner you're talking about, you wrote the book, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, and you were asking Mike some questions about it, and I note that he took your book and he went home and he read it and then did a whole series of videos that you can watch online in which he was saying, here's why I don't have a problem with women being in ministry, right? So it was very obvious that he appreciated and may not have even agreed with every part of it, but he appreciated where he was coming from, the heart of it, the study that went into it. He, too, could pick something up from other people and learn from it and move forward from there.
Yeah.
So,
when I first met him, I had a similar experience as you because he treated me like that, too. I actually met Mike before I met any of you, except Derek. I met you first, but before I met you guys. And I was doing just this little podcast. I was nobody. You know, I think I had one self-published book out already, and that was it. He had just come out with The Portent, which was a follow-up to The Facade.
Yep.
And I was nervous. I was, like, really nervous to meet him because online, you know, I had been watching his videos for years. And online, he has this persona of, like, no nonsense, you know. And so I was nervous. I was thinking, man, my first book was a little, like, it wasn't theologically wrong or anything, but it was out there, and I didn't know, I just didn't know how the conversation was going to go. But the second I got on the phone with him, I mean, just all that nervousness went away because he was so personable, and he was just already joking around about stuff. And so it was a great interview, and from that first day on, he always treated me like an equal. He never treated me like I'm just some kid or, you know, I have to work harder to get up to his level. He never treated anybody like that. So, yeah, I mean, more than anything, I've definitely learned a lot theologically from him, but even more than that, personally, he was just a really good friend.
You know, when he contacted us over a year ago and said, I have pancreatic cancer, and he did go through all the therapies, everything that was recommended to him, which was kind of astonishing to me because when I was a pastor, if you got pancreatic cancer, you just knew that was a death sentence. I didn't know that they have some therapies now. It didn't work in his case, but we were hopeful for him during that period of time. You quickly mentioned his two novels, The Portent and The Facade. Those are also published by my publishing house, Defender Publishing. So we'll send the profits to his widow, but we'll also send the two novels from Mike Kaiser. And those, of course, they actually deal with this idea of alien abduction and all that. But again, it's written from a theologian point of view.
And they're great books. I have a family member who's not a believer, but he's really into aliens and stuff. So for Christmas one year, I sent him those books.
Oh, there you go.
I'm a huge science fiction fan. So when I saw that he had written the book, and I've said for years that The Facade and then The Portent are two of the only fiction books that I will keep on my research shelf because they're so thoroughly researched and written, and all the historical events that he mentions in it are true and well researched. But this was another example of how Mike was using every tool at his disposal to teach people, not just the body of Christ, but to teach people. Because there are people out there, as you know, Tom, who are fascinated with the idea that there's life somewhere out there.
Yeah.
And there is a biblical explanation for this. And Mike used those novels to broach that subject, people who may not already understand the biblical worldview or the divine counsel concept, which he incorporated into those novels. If the divine counsel worldview, the understanding that there are more entities out there in the spirit realm than the flannel board Sunday school version that most of us were taught in church. There's, you know, this cute little devil with horns and a pitchfork and a tail and maybe some demons, but we really stopped believing in those when we discovered psychology. It's far more complicated than that, which does not constitute a new way of reading the Bible. As you said, it's reverting to the old way of understanding theology, the way the apostles and the prophets understood it. Mike was just bringing that back to the church, and it makes the mission of Jesus, the forgotten mission of Jesus, so much more powerful than we've been taught. I think the fact that that mission has been forgotten makes it much easier for so many people to go to church as kids and then just fall away. It's like, well, okay, Jesus is a life coach. And in fact, when you understand who is in the unseen realm and how many of them, as Mike would put it, are evil intelligences who seek to do us harm, it makes that war more real and more personal, and it makes it it makes the faith more important. It's harder to ignore the Bible when you understand that we're in the middle of a battlefield. We just can't see the, most of us can't see the combatants, but we're there.
Yes.
And our Savior is fighting on our side. And that's what Mike's work has helped us to see.
Not just for lay people, which he had a heart to reach, but Mike heavily influenced a lot of people in academia too. I forget what his name was, but one of the most respected theologians teaching at one of our seminaries, when Mike's book, The Unseen Realm, came out, he said, how in the world could I have missed this, right? So here's a guy that's like multiple credentials behind his name, saying, how in the world could I miss this? So Mike did help us Christian Middle Earthers, but he also heavily influenced academia itself and spoke at their conventions and all of the rest of it. Something you said, Derek, makes me want to read this. I took this off Heiser's website earlier, because he was talking about these people that are interested in space and aliens and all this stuff, right? But here's what he wrote on his website. He said, rather than belittle those who have rejected Christianity in favor of this new religion or denying someone's anomalous experience, my goal is to help people consider that perhaps the problem isn't the Bible, but it's the inside-the-box or head-in-the-sand thinking that often characterizes Christian approaches to these subjects. This is why I blog at UFO Religion, speak at UFO conferences, write sci-fi paranormal thrillers like The Facade and The Portent, and host The Paranormal. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, and that's what Mike did, right? And we've all benefited because of it.
Yes. One of the treasured memories that Sharon and I have, and we'll take with us for the rest of our lives, the 2018 Skywatch TV tour of Israel, where we invited Mike and Drina Heiser to go with us, was hearing Mike teach about the forgotten mission of Jesus to reverse Hermon on the slopes of Mount Hermon.
Historic.
We were there at the Mount Hermon Nature Reserve in Israel, on the slopes of Mount Hermon, hearing Mike teach about that, and then hearing him apply that to Peter's connection of the angels who sinned, the sons of God from Genesis 6, to Christ's descent into the netherworld, to proclaim to the spirits in prison in 1 Peter 3. Baptism was Christ's declaration of victory over those rebellious spirits, and to see Mike do that at the Jordan River, that's epic.
When a powerhouse individual or personality who has shook and reformed theology as we know it, such as Heiser and what he has done, when they have gone on to be with the Lord, one question that everybody I heard it with Billy Graham, I'm hearing it with Heiser, who's going to be the next?
Yeah.
Fill in the blank. Who's going to be the next Heiser? Who's going to be the next Billy Graham? Who's going to be the next? I think with 100% respect to where that question's originating from, I think the question is should be tweaked. There was only one Heiser.
Yeah.
There was only one Billy Graham. Fill in the blank with anybody else that we have been losing. Russ Dizdar.
Sure. Right.
With the people that we have left, the question shouldn't be who's the next that guy. Respectfully, I think the question could be, who are the successors of the same spirit in that ministry? In other words, we look at the Old Testament and we see Moses and then we see Joshua as successor, but there wasn't a second Moses.
Right.
And they weren't the same. and they weren't supposed to be the same. So for people who are sitting there with the same kind of what do we do now panic that I've had for the last week, I want to just put this out there. Whatever God has called you to do, mm-hmm. whatever that calling looks like, just be obedient like Mike was obedient mm-hmm. and do it with the same passion that Mike did it with. It doesn't have to look like that, but whatever it is, it doesn't need to be who's the next Heiser. It needs to be take that and run with it. And I just know that Mike would be proud of that, and I know God would be too.
Sure. You know, Elijah, Elisha, mm-hmm. the mantle falls, and yet both of those guys are completely different people.
Right.
And yet Elisha had a more powerful ministry. But we think of Elijah as the titan, right? And I do appreciate, Donna, how much effort you've put into that too with your book, Final Fire, and all these other things you've done about trying to encourage young people today. Don't try to be the next Michael Heiser. Be you with all the power you can be. But if you can learn something from this guy, then that's what you should do. And then just be you with the full force of the anointing of the kingdom of God.
Yeah, amen.
So ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to be a blessing to Heiser's family and support Drina right now during this difficult time, visit skywatchtvstore.com. Go to the search bar and you'll see the Michael S. Heiser Legacy Collection. Now, this is a special offer. 100% of the profits made will go directly to Drina Heiser and her family. This legacy collection includes Dr. Michael Heiser's book, Reversing Hermon, Enoch, The Watchers and the Forgotten Mission of Jesus Christ, along with two companion books to the Book of Enoch, Volume 1 and 2, which really go a long way to help further expound on the information found in the Book of Enoch through scholarly eyes, but written for a broad audience of people that would include both scholars and new Christians. But also, for a limited time and while supplies last, you'll also receive Dr. Heiser's books, The Portent and The Facade, both fact-based fiction novels, super high adventure, very interesting read. Those come absolutely free. So you're going to receive all five books, which contain a value of $100 where they purchase separately, yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. And again, all of the profits go to the Heiser family. Mike, you leave unfillable shoes, but as Donna just said, don't be the next Mike. Be the best version of you in the service of his kingdom. And that's what Mike would have wanted. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back. Say prayers for Mike's family. We love you, Mike, and you will be missed.